And now we're going to invite that goddess and we're going to make more offerings to her. But I'll tell you something, if you offer a flower when you don't have the object, you will learn the mantra. And when you learn the mantra, all the objects will come. So don't spend your time looking for the objects. I used to make this entire puja with dry leaves when I couldn't afford flowers. And some years later, all the things came. So continue to offer the mantra. If you don't have the thing, offer a flower. If you don't have a flower, offer a leaf. If you don't have a leaf, reach into the garden of delight and pull out the most beautiful betel nut that she's ever tasted and give it to her. Let's start with the puja naivedyam, the offerings of worship. The invitation, please come here, O great goddess, giver of all wealth. Please remain sitting still until this vow of worship is complete. With the offering of invitation, Om Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. I offer you a seat. United with many gems and a multitude of various jewels, voluntarily accept my offering of a divine seat. With the offering of a seat, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali. I am one with God. Foot bath. The Ganges and other waters from all the places of pilgrimage are mingled together in this our prayer, that you please accept the comfortable touch of these waters offered to wash your lotus feet. With this offering of foot bath waters, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Water for washing your hands and mouth, with camphor and excellent scent, cool with excellent taste, this water is being offered for washing, O goddess, please accept. With this offering of washing waters, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. The Orgha, the corsage or bouquet, presented to all the gods, you, Orgha, bring an abundance of pleasure. O goddess who is seated upon the lion, accept this Orgha, I bow to you. With this offering of Orgha, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Madhupark, the yogurt drink, yogurt, honey, ghee mixed together and blended fine in a vessel. Please accept this Madhuparka shining with radiant purity. With this supreme offering of Madhupark, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme divinity, Kali, I am one with God. We often, or usually, most often, add sugar to that mix. Let's take a water bath. Please accept the waters from the Ganges, the Jamuna, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, and Kaveri, which have been provided for your bath. With this offering of Ganges bath waters, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali. I am the bracelets. Om, united with gems and pearls, excellent gold, and the alphabets of Sanskrit. This bracelet is yours and radiance I am offering. O goddess, accept this bracelet. With the offering of a bracelet, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. So here in the bracelet are all the letters of Sanskrit. Now all the letters of Sanskrit symbolize all the bija mantras for every object and emotion and feeling that can come into existence. So here in those bracelets, she's wearing all the vibrations of all existence as an ornament. That's her bracelet. Conch ornaments. I am offering you with devotion ornaments worn. The arms made of various qualities of conch shell. Please accept, O supreme divinity, with the offering of ornaments made of conch shell. O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity. Kali, I am one with God. And the conch has traditionally symbolized the unity of all vibrations. If you listen to it, you can hear the ocean of existence. If you blow on it, you can put out all the vibrations into the creation. You share vibrations. the other ornaments, united with divine jewels, which are radiant like fire, and stones which are shining, please accept these ornaments, O Supreme among the gods, with the offering of ornaments, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Rice. O great Lord, please accept these grains of rice, spotlessly clean, bestowing the fruit of liberation, and give us a spotlessly clean mind. With the offering of grains of rice, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. A food offering. This ever-present platter containing varieties of the purest offerings of food we are presenting to the Lord of Gods to cause all satisfaction most excellent and transcendental. Om Goddess, who is full, complete, and perfect with food and grains, always full, complete, and perfect, the strength of the life force of Shiva, the cause of peace, for the attainment of perfection in wisdom and renunciation, please give us offerings. We bow down to you. Our mother is the goddess Parvati, and our father is the Supreme Lord Maheshwar. Consciousness of infinite goodness, Shiva, Lord of the three worlds, is being extolled by his devotees. With this presentation of food, O Maya, increase dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. The drinking water, Lord of all the gods and the fullness of infinite bliss, please accept this excellent drinking water. With this offering of drinking water, O Maya, increase dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. These betel nuts, which are great and divine, come from vines that creep like a snake. United with cardamom, ground to a powder, please accept this offering of mouth-freshening betel nuts. With this offering of mouth-freshening betel nuts, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Dakshina, offering of money. Om, for the purpose of increasing the fruits of worship, O Supreme Goddess of all wealth, we establish this offering of that which is dear to me. Bring to perfection the journey of my mind. O golden womb, in whom all wombs are situated, that's talking about Brahma, the spark of creation, shining brightly with the golden seed, give infinite merits as fruits. We are wanting for peace. With this offering of wealth, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Our umbrella, O Goddess, creator of the universe, this umbrella will protect you from heat and wind. Please accept it, O great Maya, and remain always beautiful. With this offering of an umbrella, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. The fly whisk. O great goddess, this fly whisk made of yak's tail. Please accept it and always whisk away all sin. With this offering of a fly whisk, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. A fan. It moves back and forth with equanimity and has a stick in the middle. Please accept this fan, O Kali, to keep the perspiration from your body. With this offering of a fan, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. Mirror. This beautiful mirror will give a pure reflection. In order to reflect my soul, I am offering it to you, O great seer of all. With this offering of a mirror, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. The camphor light. All-knowing as the moon, the sun, and the divine fire, you alone are all light, and this light we request you to accept. With the offering of light, O Maya, increased dissolution to the Supreme Female Divinity, Kali, I am one with God. A flower, various flowers such as Malika and others of excellent scent are being offered to you, our Lord. All these flowers have come from the devotion of our hearts for your worship. Be pleased to accept them. With the offering of flowers, O Maya, increase dissolution to the supreme female divinity, Kali, I am one with God. And those are the offerings. Do we have any questions? The bracelet, yes.
Is that in Sita Pija when you tie the string around your
finger? No. That's not the same thing. This is an ornamental bracelet. Usually they're made out of glass bangles, or sometimes when we offer them to the Kumari, they're made out of plastic. There are also various forms of bracelets. Saturday in the wedding, we'll offer a golden bracelet. We'll use the same mantra for the bracelet. Please.
What is the difference then with the ornaments?
There are different ornaments that goddesses wear.
Like that,
the rings? The rings, the taira, the headpiece, har, the necklace, the katibushan, that's an ornament. There are toe rings. There are many ornaments, so that's a generic mantra we can use to offer whatever we choose, whatever left over. Any other questions?
Are these betel nuts the same ones that people chew?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Have you ever had one?
Yeah. Oh, we've had them many times. We cut them up to little slivers, and that's the one that you chew. The big one that we have, we have the big ones here. We just haven't cut them up. We just offer a whole one and put it back in the night and offer the same one next day. Cheaters that we are. But what we would normally do, the panwala, the guy who sells pawn on the corner, Surat can tell you all about how he makes the pawn. Actually, we had the great pawn guru with us last year, Lalu, who could take us to every pawn shop, and he could tell, he gave us a different kind of pawn in every pawn shop.
You said pawn last week, wasn't it?
Was yeah. Mm-hmm.
What does betel nuts affect your consciousness? they certainly rot your teeth.
They rot your teeth.
Well, they say many things. You know, it's just, if you find a good thing, you want to abuse it. It's not that they're really addictive. But they are sometimes, pawn and betel nuts are often classified as a intoxicant, just like you would classify tea or coffee as an intoxicant. It's got some caffeine in the tea and some, you know, something else, and I'm not sure what all it is, but it wakes you up and perks you up. And so pawn and betel nuts do have that kind of effect. Now, whether it's an effect in consciousness, of course it is. All effects are in consciousness. So, but it's mild.
Very mild.
Very mild effect. Please.
The questions for me? We're inviting the goddess into our heart.
Yes.
And when she comes in, now, does the goddess take us to the guru? Or does the guru take us to the goddess?
Oh, the guru takes us to the goddess. Mm-hmm. And then the goddess takes us to the next guru. Mm-hmm. Hmm. And ultimately, Shiva is the guru. So all, for example, all these little gurus that you have take you to the goddesses. They teach you how to sit down, how to bend down, how to breathe, how to chant, how to read a book, where to put the flowers, how to do the worship. And pretty soon, you go beyond the relationship with everything that's going on out here, and you cultivate the relationship with what's going on over there. So the guru has taken us to the goddess. Now the goddess will take us deeper and deeper and deeper until we find the guru. And then when we find the guru, we turn around and say to all the gurus that helped us get here, namaste. We bow to you all. Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru Dev Maheshwara. You're all included. Thank you very much. All the gurus, everyone who taught me one mantra, one syllable, one letter of Sanskrit, one asana with which to worship, they were all instrumental in bringing me to where I am today. So thank you all. The guru is one, it's Shiva. And that guru-ness is expressed through every teacher that we've ever had. There were many, many gurus who taught us what we don't need to know. And we have to thank them too. Because now we don't have to explore that path anymore. And there were a few gurus that brought us closer and closer till we could make an altar of our own and do the puja and pronounce the mantras, make the offerings, make the mudras, perform the kriyas, and put ourselves in the bhava of unity with that deity and thereby awaken our own awareness as to who the guru is. Please.
Can you talk a little bit about Sadhguru versus Upaguru? In the context of what you're saying there.
Every teacher is an Upaguru. Guru means darkness. Guru means takes away, illuminates the darkness. A light in the dark. So a guru is one who illuminates the darkness. So there are teachers that will teach us how to come closer to God. How to give up our darkness. There's one Satguru, and that's Lord Shiva. Shiva. He's the Satguru. All the rest are links in the chain that brought us to Shiva, to meet the real Guru. So Shiva, when we pray to Shiva, he'll send us the gurus that are necessary to bring us a little closer. Who is appropriate for my evolution at this point in my sadhana, my spiritual life.
So Ramakrishna would be an Upaguru?
Absolutely. But he's one with Shiva too, so you know that's but if he were sitting here and teaching us, talking to us, he would be an Upaguru. He would be someone who is interceding on our behalf to take us closer to the Satguru. Someone who's making us one with Shiva. We studied the Guru Gita a couple of weeks ago. And I think it stressed this point again and again, that the Guru is actually supreme divinity, and therefore we bow down to the Guru. Please.
We had this discussion, I don't know if you remember, we were walking from the cremation grounds in Benares. And I'm trying to refresh my memory now, but it was about Ramakrishna. And the progression, I think, you remember this discussion? The progression from a man to a deity?
Yes.
Remember that?
Certainly.
Can you elaborate on that again in the context of this
discussion? Sure. The mantra from the Rig Veda it's a mantra for Agni, and it says, Thwam Agni Pratamangang Jirash Rishi Deva Deva Nama Bhava Siva Saka. It says, you're the first and foremost amongst the Angirasas. It's the family of Tapasaks, the earliest seers who performed tapasya in the Rig Veda was the family of Angiras. It's one of the gotras, one of the shakas of the Vedas, one of the limbs. Agni was... Thwam Agni Pratamangang Jirasa. You were the foremost or first amongst the Angirasa family. That means you were a human being. Rishi, you became a rishi, a seer through your tapasya. Deva, you became a god. Deva nama bhava siva saka, and your name became a symbol for divinity everywhere, and you became the friend of Shiva. Tababrate kavakyo bibanapaso ajayantamarato brother trishtaha. Through you, all the seers were able to see. They became illuminated by your example, as did the renunciates from the desert, the Bharats. Now, the closest example that we have to this verse is the example in the life of Ramakrishna. Because he was a man, and he did tapasya. And we know he did tapasya. We read about it. And through his tapasya, he became a rishi, a great seer. People from all over the world used to go to that little room in the corner of the Dakshineshwar temple to talk to him, to get his darshan, and to hear him elucidate the scriptures. And after his death, he became a deva. Look at his pictures on the walls of temples all around the world. We sing mantras to him every day. We offer flowers every day. He sits on altars all around the world. He's a deva. Deva nama bhava siva saka. His name has become a symbol of divinity everywhere. He's the friend of Shiva. And the life of Ramakrishna certainly demonstrates the reality of that verse. And that's just the path that we're taking ourselves. We're performing tapasya so that we can become rishis. We can become seers of that truth, of the seers of the pure consciousness. And we'll become illuminated. Deep means to shine. Devas are the shining ones, really. That would be the literal translation. The ones who shine. This idea of gods and goddesses, that was a later imposition. It's not the root, the origin of the word. The etymology of the word is div.
Many times there, it says, Chandra did tapasya here.
Yes.
And I thought, I couldn't feel it out. Chandra's the moon.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah. The moon doing sitting on the beach.
Same thing Shrima was doing. He took the sand and he made a Shiva lingam, and then he took the flowers, and every mantra he put the flowers on the lingam.
But he was a man.
Yeah.
That became a rishi.
Uh-huh.
And then somehow became
illumined and became soma. And he became illuminated the light of devotion. So his name was Som. And they say, you inspire devotion so much, we're going to give you a place in the heavens. You're going to become a planet. Just Dhruv was so pure, the eternally young sage. He was so pure, he went to hell to save his guru who had fallen. And when he got into hell, it became cool. And his guru looked up and said, what are you doing here? And Dhruva said, I can't proceed in my spiritual life without my guru. Even though you're here in hell, it was my duty as a disciple to come down here and get you out. So come with me, guru. I'm giving all the merits of all the purity that I have achieved. And I'm giving it to you and freeing you from the bonds of sin. And you come out of hell. And his guru said, I bless you. You'll become the light of the heavens. Became the North Star.
There are lots of gurus who could use daily devotees like that.
Every one of us can. Is there ever any one of us that doesn't need a friend like that? We all need friends like that. I remember Ram used to say, anybody can curse the wrongdoer or put someone down. But it takes a saintly being to raise others up. It's very easy to apportion blame and put others down, but only special people can raise them up. Then Vishwamitra said, Ram, touch that stone with your foot. And Ahalya came to life, who was cursed by her husband, Gotam. Are there any other questions? I've gone over the time.
Swami, I think it's one little question. I assume there's a misprint in the first offering where it says, please remain sitting in close vow, which says in my book is not complete. Is that a misprint?
No, it's Indian English. We had that discussion last night, I think. In Indian English, we use double negatives. So what it means is, as long as I stay here, you stay there. Okay? Until my worship isn't full and complete, you don't have the authority to move. So you'll excuse me. When I was writing in the early days, and I was talking with somebody about this the other day, I was thinking at best in Indian. So whatever I rendered at that time, it now reading it 15 years later or 20 years later, it's a little different. Now I speak Americanese. So maybe you don't use double negatives in English. But what it means is, as long as I'm sitting here, you sit there. Okay? When I complete, you can move. And if I don't complete it, you can't move. Is that? That's the intention. With my devotion, my love. I'm saying I'm not going to move my knees until I say the last mantra. You don't either. And if I keep my part of the bargain, then I think it's pretty much incumbent upon you to keep yours. That's what a deal is about. That's the contract. So until my worship is not complete, please don't go away. When I complete the worship, then you can think about where you want to go. Sorry for the poor grammar.
What type of contract are we engaging in with Sri Ma?
Oh, you'll have to define that. I can't possibly define what contract you've engaged in. I can tell you a little about what I'm doing.
All right.
But I'd rather not. I'd rather you just watch. You see barely much what I'm doing. And if there are parts of it that you don't understand, then I'll be glad to explain that. But each one of us is going to define that commitment in our own way, our own selves, what that means. The way we define it is the way we're going to act. Those are our values. That's what we're going to do.
In Sri Ma's pleas, all of creation benefits.
I think so. I know I certainly have. Every time she was pleased, I got the best benefit. Any other questions or topics for gossip? Or
She's so unknowable.
That's her name.
Yeah. So how does one undertake the effort to please without knowing how to please?
The first step is to study what other people who pleased her did. What was their life like? Who pleased her? Whoever pleased her became a rishi, a deva. A deva nama bhava siva saka. Their name became a symbol for divinity everywhere. They became the friend of Shiva. They were called the rishis, and they wrote down in step by step what they did, and they called it Kali Puja. So the first step is to say, what did other people do to please her, and how did it work? Because obviously there were some rishis back then in antiquity that did it. And we're even talking about them thousands of years later. So the most prudent thing for us to do as sincere students is to read what they said and what they did and how they did it. And then the next step would be shravanam, mananam, nidhitasanam. We'll hear it, we'll contemplate it, and we'll deeply meditate. Is it true? Did they become rishis by doing these practices? If they did, and I believe that, if they did and I do believe that, my next step is to start practicing myself. That's the next step. And if I really believe it, the next step after that is to organize my life around my practices. And think of all the other stuff that I do outside as important insofar as it supports my practice. Bring them into the practice. That's part of the practice. To cultivate, nurture divinity within your family. to demonstrate and exemplify what the teachings of the rishis told? To show them how sincere you are about your love for God? Doesn't mean to neglect family or to neglect responsibility. We must fulfill our obligations. But we can fulfill them from in the context of our practice. With the equanimity, the same way we organize our puja, the same way we organize our life. First thing we did when we did the puja was welcome God and say, thank you very much for the privilege of sitting down and worshiping with you. And now, here I am, and this is what my goal is, what I promised to do. The sankalpa, the statement of our goal, the definition of where we're going, how we propose to get there. And then, step by step, we created the padoti. We have the system, and just go step by step through every task of life so that you don't have to go back and do it again. And when you don't have to go back and do it again, you can spend more time in your practice until the practice becomes the reality of your life. That's the objective. Then this is no longer a practice. This is my life. And I go outside, that's a practice. I'm practicing to go into the world. But the reality of my life is to be here, in this world. And I believe that's the path that the rishi showed. They did everything. They had their families, they had their ashrams, they had their crops. They maintained their farms. They maintained all the inhabitants of the ashram. Everybody did their religious observances and performed their worldly tasks. There was still cooking and cleaning and sewing going on. But they did it with the love of God. They didn't make a distinction between my worldly self and my spiritual self. They just said, I'm spiritual. Everything I do is spiritual. I can chop wood and carry water with the great love of God and serve my family because I love God and serve my community because I love God and serve my teachers so I get the privilege of learning more because I love God. So I don't think the rishis made that distinction between worldly self and spiritual self. There was just the self. Are there any other questions? Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.